Hi, Marty Lurie here, KNBR 680. As we get ready for Giants baseball, we're joined by, boy, a guy I love talking baseball with, Mark Zuckerman of MassinBaseball.com, and he's going to tell us exactly what it means, but he's been covering Washington sports for a long time. Mark, I watched the Nationals, of course, for the three games here, and now it's the weekend. You guys are still here in the Bay Area, but this Washington team, this is the best team I've seen all year.
You know, I think it may be the best Nationals team that they've had in their history here. And that's saying something because they've won 98 games, 96 games. They've won three division titles. What stands out about this team this year is its lineup because there is so much depth to it. And this is even without Adam Eaton, who got hurt towards ACL. The first month of the season when they were completely healthy, they were setting records offensively. Even without him, when you can move Trey Turner into the leadoff spot and still have the lineup depth that they have, where at the moment there's four guys on pace for 100 RBIs. It's not saying that's going to happen, but we're a third of the way through the season now. So that really stands out to me. The rotation we've always known has been one of the better ones. They actually haven't quite pitched as well as maybe the track record would say they would, but I don't think anybody's doubting Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg especially. There's just one glaring hole, and I know you guys know about this in San Francisco from last year, and that is the bullpen, and it's amazing how even a great team, how things can fall apart quickly if you can't close out games, and that's still a work in progress and something they're going to have to figure out over the course of the summer.
Well, Dusty Baker is the manager of the Nationals. We know Dusty very well and sort of known for letting pitchers go a little deeper into a game. And I sort of chart this stuff every day in 112 pitches, 115 pitches, 108 pitches. And it is, you know, the beginning of June. Is that something that anyone is concerned about here because of the bullpen?
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's something that is a direct reflection of the bullpen and the fact that he just a lot of times has not had the faith in some of those guys to put them out there, and so he has had to push his starters. There was a point about a week, 2 weeks ago, where they had four of the top five starters in the National League in terms of average pitches per start, well over 105, up to 110. Now, these are good starters. You know, Scherzer, Strasburg, Roark, these are good starters. They are veterans, so it's not like they're pushing young guys who haven't done this before, but like you said, it's a long season, and we're only into June right now, and you got to be careful to make sure that they aren't getting burned out too soon. So it's yet another reason why they do need to address the bullpen. Things have stabilized a little bit in the last couple weeks that have helped matters. Now, I do think Dusty understands. They're helped out by the fact they have such a big lead in the division that he may not feel like they have to push these guys quite as much, and maybe he will back off a little bit because he knows ultimately if they're going to get to where they want to in October, he's going to need those guys to still be healthy and fresh and able to give them seven innings in October.
Well, it's going to be interesting. Mark Zuckerman with us of Masson, of course, the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, if I remember the initials, the acronym, what it stands for. But we watched last year in the World Series of Francona and Joe Maddon taking starters out in the fourth and fifth inning, getting into the bullpen, using Chapman for three innings. Of course, he somehow won a World Series doing that. But Dusty is different. He may not have to get to his bullpen in the fifth inning. This may be the old-fashioned way, as they like to say.
Yeah, and that's kind of how this team was built. So it's not necessarily just a reflection of how things have gone this year, but this is a team that Mike Rizzo has built around the rotation, less so around the bullpen. And, you know, I was just talking about this the other day with someone. One of the best teams Rizzo has ever been a part of is the 2001 Diamondbacks. He was their scouting director. Think about how that team was constructed. Two great aces at the top of the rotation. They had all kinds of bullpen issues to the point that they actually had to use Randy Johnson in the ninth inning of Game 7 the day after he started. In my mind, I wonder if that's still how Rizzo thinks the best way to build a championship team. You have a really good lineup. You have a veteran bench. You have a dominant rotation. And then hope that the guys pitching at the end can do it for you. So, look, they're not going to win a World Series unless they do have at least a couple of guys they can count on in the bullpen. But ultimately, if they do get there, it's going to be on the backs of Scherzer and Strasburg and Roark.
Well, interesting. As you're speaking, I'm thinking of Zimmerman coming out. And, of course, Drew Storen coming in. And that game turned into an 18-inning game. I wonder what Rizzo thought about that, going to the bullpen there. And, of course, Matt Williams is now here. He's an analyst and not a manager of the Washington Nationals. Mark, Rob Robertson of the White Sox. And Nationals did the trade for Eaton and gave up a couple of good young pitchers. We saw one here, Lopez. I think we saw him here last year, a good hard thrower. Robertson in the future of the Nationals?
You know, his name has been out there since the offseason as one of the few, you know, proven closers who could be available. In all honesty, I don't get the sense that the Nationals value him that highly. Now, if they could get him for a small price, maybe, but I don't get the sense they want to give up what the White Sox would want for him, so I think they're going to look elsewhere.
All right. Mark Zuckerman with us of Masson. Let's jump ahead. The Giants, of course, today take on the Philadelphia Phillies in your division, the National League East. Boy, it's the Nationals and everybody else. As we look at the Marlins and the Phillies and the Braves and the Mets, and then you see the Nationals. Well, the Giants do see the Phillies. Let's get your take on the Phillies, and you've seen them.
Obviously a rebuilding team, and that was a team that they had to strip it all the way down a couple years ago, recognizing that after spending a lot of money to try to retain that championship team from the late 2000s, that it wasn't working and that they had to start all over. They didn't have the farm system. They were going to need to trade who they had and try to rebuild from the ground up. And I do think they're on the right track. And I think within a couple of years, you're going to see a very competitive team. But they've got a ways to go. At the big league level right now, there's only a couple, especially offensively, only a couple guys that stand out. Odubel Herrera is a legitimate star in the making, I think, in center field. Cesar Hernandez, their second baseman, is a real pest in the leadoff spot. We've seen him hit, feels like he hits about 500 against the Nationals. Aaron Altair has had his moments. But offensively, you look at that lineup, and there's not a lot of fearsome guys, especially big bats in the middle of their lineup. And they have a lot of young pitching, a bunch of guys they got in the Cole Hamels trade, some of which are panning out, some are a little bit more erratic. They do have guys on the way. They're being careful not to push them too fast. I give them credit that they're saying, you know what, this is going to be a long process. We're not going to try to stopgap it. We're not going to try to squeeze out a couple extra wins just to make us look more respectable. In the long run, that won't help them. Here's what they do have, though. They've got a lot of money in another year or two. And when that big free agent class hits after the 2018 season, I fully expect them to go after one of the big names, maybe even Bryce Harper, but Manny Machado, those kind of guys, they're going to be in the mix for it because they've finally shed all that payroll from the Ryan Howard, Chase Utley, Carlos Ruiz days, and they do have the money. It's not a small market team. It's a big market team with a lot of TV money, and I expect them to spend it once they feel like they're closer to winning.
Well, good analysis. What about the Philly fans? How are they dealing with all this?
Not nearly as many in the park as there were back in those heydays times. That's been interesting to see because as long as I've been covering the Nationals, the Phillies had been really the top dogs in the division, and the ballpark was sold out every night. It's not that way anymore. I think the smart fans understand what they're doing. They know that you can't just try to build it right away, but that doesn't make it any easier to watch right now. And I can just tell you from the times that we're there, and we make three trips there a year, they do not like the Nationals, and they do not like seeing the Nationals dominating them, and it's the complete reversal of what it was about 6-7 years ago when, because of the proximity there, Phillies fans would come down to D.C. and invade Nationals Park. And that did not sit well with Nationals fans, and it certainly didn't sit well with Jason Wirth early on in his tenure, and he is still just reviled among Phillies fans, and I'll never quite understand why they boo him so much. The guy helped them win a World Series. The Phillies made no real attempt to try to re-sign him, and he took a huge contract that the Nationals were offering to go to a team that, while at the time they were coming off 100 lost seasons, he saw where they were headed. He saw where the Phillies were headed. I think he was proven right in the end.
Well, Mark Zuckerman, they're Philly fans, and that's all I can say. And this didn't start last year or the year before. This goes back as long as the Philadelphia franchise, in baseball at least, has been in existence. You can go back, and they had the worst bench jockeyers ever. The fans were bench jockeyers. Connie Mack used to invite some of Pete Adelis, that famous name. They'd invite him to go on the road with the old Philadelphia Athletics and the Phillies in the late 40s, early 50s, just so he could yell at the players when they came through the tunnel. So Philly has a long history. Before we let you go, it's a pleasure to see you here, and I'm sure you're enjoying the Bay Area. You got a week in the Bay Area. Let's touch upon Bryce Harper. The suspension, as you tweeted out earlier in the week, reduced from 4 games to 3. You've been in the clubhouse. You've been around. What's your take on this altercation, and where's it going, if anywhere?
You know, I think it's done. I don't think anything else is going to – I don't think we're ever going to hear this one again. They really seem to understand in that clubhouse that this wasn't a Giants thing. This was Hunter Strickland. For whatever reason he had, not liking Bryce Harper, not liking the way that he responded to those home runs in the playoffs, that it was his own personal decision to go out and do that. And I don't think the Nationals hold that against anybody else with the Giants. I think the way that the brawl all happened and the reaction of the Giants players for the most part, I think the Nationals saw that and understood, hey, there's nothing to see here, nothing to do. They wish that Strickland got a greater penalty for it, because especially as a reliever, six games, maybe he's only going to pitch in maybe three of those games. It's about three innings of work, versus Bryce Harper, even with a reduced suspension, is going to miss three full games, and you're talking 15 at-bats maybe for him. So I don't know they feel like it's necessarily fair in the end how it worked out, but I do think to a man they all felt like, okay, this is a one-time thing. They're not going to hold it against anyone else. And I think you saw over the course of the rest of the series that they weren't up for any other shenanigans. And honestly, they have too much at stake. As a first-place team, they're already losing their best player for three games. They don't want to lose anyone else.
All right, well said. Well, great to have you on. It's a pleasure to catch up with you. And where do we follow you on Twitter? And you can explain Masson to the audience so they know exactly where you work.
On Twitter, it's at Mark Zuckerman. And please make sure that you do the M-A-N, Zuckerman, not Zuckerberg, who unfortunately I get confused for a lot and get a lot of tweets sent to the Facebook guy. I am not him. And online, you can read my work at massonsports.com. It's the Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, and it's the website. It covers both the Nationals and the Orioles. We have a beat writer for each team. We travel, cover every game myself, or Byron Kerr, who works with me, and really good, comprehensive baseball-only coverage. The website only does baseball, and we do a pretty good job of it, I think.
Oh, great. Mark, great to see you, as always.
My pleasure. Thanks, Marty.
All right, more coming up. KNBR 680, the sports leader.